to everyone. It is a day the Lord has made, right? I'm glad you're here. We're going to get into God's Word today. And the title of my message is Giving Honor to God's Holy Name. We already had prayer over the Word, so we're going to get into our message today. Matthew 6, verse 9 says, pray along these lines, Our Father in heaven, we honor your holy name. And all the worship songs that we sang this morning had a connotation of God's name. Now, several translations say, hallowed be your name, which means to revere, to reverence, to adore, to set apart, to be praised and honored. But what is God's name? Some may say God's name is God, but I want you to know there's names in the Bible that God has that depicts God's character. So let's look at number one. What is in a name? What is in a name? When a baby is about to be born, parents search all over for the right name. There's books available that you can look at and look through different names and talk about and see which one think fits, if it's a boy or a girl, so you find the right name. I remember when David was born, we went through books, my wife and I, we looked, we talked, and we couldn't come upon a name that we actually felt good about or agreed about. So it wasn't until after David was born that we turned to our five-year-old son Val and said, what should we name him? He said, David. We looked at each other. It's David, so you owe that all to Val. Okay, Dave? Yeah, and I know, you know, parents, as your kids grow, you develop nicknames, you know, go along with their name, you know, like David, you know, kind of shorten it to Vid, Deshmad, Yad, Angela, Pangela, all that. I still call her Pange once in a while without thinking. She answers to it, okay? Now, psychologists tell us what you call your child may psychologically affect the child's behavior. And if you call your child a dummy, if you call your child an idiot, or names like this, they may try to live up to what you call them. Excuse me, try to do things intentionally to appear dumb because of what you're calling them. If you call your child fatso, that child may develop a complex and not want to be around other people because of what you're saying about him. Now, Proverbs 22, verse 1, it says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. You read names like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you're thankful for names like Bill and Pat and Sue and Carol and Jim and Chuck and Ron. reminds me, there was a preacher. He was preaching on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he couldn't quite remember their names, so he had his suit on, and what he did is he pinned inside of his jacket the three names. And as he was preaching away, unnoticed to him, it fell off into his suit pocket. So when he came to the time when he was going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he looked in his coat and he said, Hart, Schaffner, and Marx, because that was the name. And if you know what a suit is, that's what it is. So what's in a name? Two young men were graduating from Yale, and they listened as the speaker came. He says, I'm going to talk about the letters in the word Yale. So for half an hour, he talked about Y, which is for youth. He talked about A, which is for ability. He talked about L for leadership. And he talked about E for excellence. At the end of the two boring hours, as the two guys were watching, walking out, said, wow, wasn't that something? The other guy said, yeah, but we can be thankful that we didn't graduate from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. You know? What do you think about when someone says the name Hitler? You think about a dictator. What do you think about when someone says the name Judas? You think of a betrayer. When someone says the name Thomas, the disciple of Jesus, you think of a doubter. When someone says the name Bin Laden, you think of a former terrorist. When someone says the name Tiger Woods, you think of a golfer. When someone says Shakespeare, you think about your grade you got in English, whether it was a passing or a non-passing grade. Now, the Bible reflects in your name the character. Let me give you some illustrations about that. It's important you understand this, that the name given in the Bible reflected the character of that person. Take the name of Jacob in the Old Testament. It means heel catcher. Now, Jacob was a rascal. I mean, when you talked to Jacob, you had to have a lawyer on each side of him so you could really interpret what is being said, because Jacob could get you with both eyes on him and deceive you. But the time came when Jacob had an encounter with God. He wrestled with an angel, and his name became Israel. What does the name Israel mean? Israel means having power with God. It also means a God fighter. And I think this is so fitting for Israel, this name, a God fighter. You might think God knew what he was doing. Now, Abraham, his name wasn't always Abraham, it was Abram. Then God changed it to Abraham, which means the father of many nations, because that's what Abraham became. He was the father of all the Jewish people and the father of all the Arabs. And then there's the disciple Peter. In John 1, verse 42, it says, Andrew then brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which translated is Peter, stone. Now, stone is Petros, from which we get Simon Petros, which is Simon Peter. In the book of Acts, we see a persecutor of the Christians, and you know who that was. That was the Apostle Paul. And on the road to Damascus, he was thrown off his horse when the light came, and God transformed him through Jesus Christ, and he wrote a lot of books in the New Testament, 13 books, and he impacted the world, known world, for Jesus Christ. So God changed his name from Saul to Paul. Now let's look at point number two. If you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you have a new name in heaven. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a new name in heaven. Did you know your name has been changed? Let's look in Revelation 2, verse 17, first of all. Last part of that verse. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven, and I will give to each one a white stone, and on that stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. And that new name will reflect your spiritual character, and it's written in heaven now, and it's going to be on a white stone, and you might wear that for all eternity around your neck. God knows that. Okay, Revelation 3, verse 12. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Now, there was an old song I remember as a boy that we used to sing in church. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. A white robe angel, sing the story. A sinner has come home. I'm stopping right there. But we used to sing that. New name written down in glory. I'll survive, honey. Thanks. Now, you do have a new name in glory if you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it will be great to look at each other's name tag when we get to heaven. But what do you think about when you say the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "We honor your holy, hallowed name. May your name be honored." There are many Christians today who don't really know the names of God. So that brings us to point number three. It's important to know the names of God, because when you know the names of God, you know the character of God. When you know the names of God, you know the character of God. Now, When you know the character of God, you know what God will do for you. Let's look at Genesis 22, verse 13 through 14. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Now the Hebrew words for "the Lord will provide" are Jehovah Jireh. So today we are looking at the Lord our provider. But I want you to know God started out as a no-name God. Look at Exodus 6, verse 2 through 3. God said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them." Now, the Hebrew name for God Almighty is El Shaddai. It's very important for you to understand that when the earth was created, God didn't come down and start announcing his name. When the earth became corrupt and the people there chose foreign gods, then God selected a man by the name of Abraham, and through him the Jewish people came to an existence, and through them God preserved his purity, and his name first was introduced as El Shaddai, God Almighty. And then secondly, God introduced himself as Lord in the book of Genesis, or Jehovah. Jehovah means Lord. Also in the Hebrew, the Lord also means Adonai in the Hebrew. So God told Moses to go face Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and the Lord told him to speak to the children of Israel. So we see this in Exodus, the third chapter. Let's read it. Exodus 3, verse 13 through 14. Now Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, 'What is in his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Now, if you look at the root structure in the Hebrew of the phrase "I am," it means God is saying here, "I am of myself. I am from everlasting to everlasting. I am the beginning, I am the last. I am the A to Z. And God is before everyone else, and no one is greater than all he is." Now, why is God telling Moses this, "I am that I am"? Because Moses is going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. He's going to face Pharaoh, who calls himself the God on the earth. And when Pharaoh walks into the throne, everyone gets on his face and hails Pharaoh as the living God. So when Moses says, "Who shall I say sent me?" Moses could look at Pharaoh and say these words, "I am has sent me. I am is the living God." How many know that? I am is God Almighty, El Shaddai. I am is Jehovah the Lord. So Moses went with these names to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh called himself God. But listen, before he ever breathed a breath, "I am" was from everlasting to everlasting. Before Pharaoh ever sat on his throne, God Almighty sat on his throne in glory. So he overcame because of this. Moses went boldly then before Pharaoh. Now, there are those of you today that need to discover the Lord our provider, Jehovah Jireh. Some of you may be having problems in your marriage. Some of you may be having problems in your business or your workplace. Some of you may have problems with your health or problems in your home or relationships with somebody. You are here today to hear about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, the Lord who supplies, the Lord who will see to it. Amen? And I want you to know our God is El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And God had the ability to face Pharaoh. He had the ability to part the Red Sea. He had the ability to hold the sun still for Joshua. And he had the ability to close the lion's mouth for Daniel. He had the ability to fight against the forces that would come against Israel and perform miracles and destroy the enemy. And God has the ability to do in your life whatever needs to be done. If you are a Christian and you are born again, you need to grab a hold of this truth and realize that God is there. He's all-powerful. His power is still in operation today, right now, in this day, right in this hour that we live in. He is still all-powerful God. How many know that? Amen? And I want you to understand that when you say the name El Shaddai, God Almighty, or Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, that opens the doors of God. And that opens the doors of power, the doors of provision, and God begins to meet your need according to his riches and glory. Look at Psalm 145, verse 1. I lift you high in praise, my God, O my King. I bless your name into eternity. I bless your name into eternity. Look at Psalm 20, verse 7. You know, God said of David, he knows how to worship me. And these are Psalm of David. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust and boast of chariots and some of horses. But we will trust in and boast of the name of the Lord our God. Please repeat after me that last part. But I will trust in and boast of the name of the Lord my God. Amen. Now, Psalm 29, verse 2, it says, give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness or in holy array. And then Psalm 34, verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt what? His name together. Listen to me, the Lord will provide what you can't. The beautiful thing about the Bible is like a gyroscope. The longer you study it, the more you love it, because it balances in Genesis to Revelation. The Bible was written by 39 authors and 66 books, and the word of the Lord from beginning to end talks about God our provider. He supplies what you can't. Philippians 4, verse 19 in the Philip says, my God will supply all that you need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. God will not supply what you want. It doesn't say that, does it? It's my God will supply all your needs. It's Jehovah Jireh. God will provide what you can't. God provides worms for the birds, but he doesn't throw it into their nests. Do you get the point? If you're lazy and you won't work, if you won't supply for your family, the Bible says you're worse than an infidel. And if you're an able-bodied person and a just-do-nothing person at home and say, God's going to meet the need, God's going to supply, hear me, you don't know what the Bible's saying. And you'll go hungry and be kicked out of your house because that's not God's way. The fact is, God provides what you can't. God provided needs before you even had needs. Think about it. He's the one that put the oil and the gas in the ground. He's the one that supplied sheep so you could have clothing and keep you warm. Before you were ever sick, God made healing possible through the stripes of Jesus. Redemption is possible through the cross. And God will supply all your needs, so you come to him. Salvation is yours. Redemption is yours. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, once I was young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging bread. What this verse is saying is, you and I are going to make it. That's what it means. In Genesis chapter 13, God gives Abram, which was Abraham, the land that became the land of Israel. And God promised his descendants would be as numerous as the dust of the earth. Now, that's a lot of children and children's children. Don't you know what I'm saying? But the problem is Abraham had no son. And how in the world are his descendants going to inherit the land without a child, a son? Let's go to point number four. To give honor to God Almighty, your provider, you need to trust his plan and purpose for you and not try to do it your own way. You need to trust His plan and purpose for you and try not to do it your own way. If I had a raise of hands, quite a few of us would have to say, we've tried to help God in our own way. I'm raising my hand once in a while, haven't you? And you found out later that it wasn't the way to go because God had already impressed on you the direction you were going to take, and it didn't happen right away or come to fruition, so I'm going to help God out. God said in Genesis, the 13th chapter, Abram, I'll give you the land. Abram said in Genesis 15, verse 2 and 3, since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so no one of my servants will be my heir. Genesis 15, verse 4, then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Now, this is a clear directive from God for Abraham. God is saying, Abraham, you're going to have your very own baby from your wife. In Genesis, the 16th chapter, we see Sarai, as she was called then, saying to Abraham, I can't have children, and I know you would like to have a son. Why don't you go and sleep with Hagar, my maid, and have a child by her? And we know that Hagar had a child named Ishmael. You take time to read the story of Sarah's jealousy and how she despised Hagar. The point is, Abraham got ahead of God, and he tried to work it out his own way. And that is something that we need to learn a lesson also. Let me ask you, have you ever tried to help God out and go your own way? You reasoned in your own mind that the only way you could receive the answer for what you really desired if this or that took place. That's the only way God could help you, so you decided you were going to go on your own, do your own thing, and what happened is you made a big mess of things. Listen, God is saying in heaven to all of us, I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. I don't need your help. It's my plan versus your plan. And if you'll get out of the way, I can do it. I can hear God just say, don't you understand my provision? I created a human out of dirt. I preached a sermon through a donkey. I made a rooster crow and gave a lesson to Peter. And you mean to tell me I can't take care of you? I'm the God who can do the impossible. Nothing is too hard for me. He's the see to it God. Now, it may not happen on your time schedule or when you think it should happen, but you know when God impresses you in a way to go, and you're a person that gets into the Word, and you're wanting God's way and purpose in your life, you know, if you're not careful, you're going to try to do things on your own way instead of what God has impressed you to do His way. So, now let's look further at Abraham and Sarah, who got ahead of God. Abraham listened to Sarah instead of God, and Abraham had a baby by the maid Hagar, and they called him Ishmael. And I can just see years later, Sarah in her jealousy, she looks at Abraham, said, you know what? We got to get rid of Hagar and Ishmael. And Abraham said, well, you're the one that told me that I need to have a baby. Get rid of him. Kick him out. And so there was dissension between which became the Arab people with Ishmael and the Jewish people in Abraham's line. And today there's a lot of problems in the Middle East because of the Arab conflict with Israel. Still going on. And I want to keep this before you and ever on your mind, when it comes to family relationships or relatives, forgive and forget. Family feuds can hurt relationships, and I know what they're like because we've ran across them in our own ministry. So forgive, forget, and go on, because the feud between Isaac and Ishmael's descendants has the whole world on the edge of the seat even to this day. Are you trying to help God out? Do God a favor and don't, because He can supply and provide for you. Now, 13 years passes by after Abram had his son from Hagar. God came to Abraham again and told him he would be the father of many nations, and no longer would his name be called Abram, but Abraham. And we see this in Genesis, the 17th chapter. And in Genesis 17, verse 16, God tells Abraham again that he would have a son by his wife Sarah, and she would be the mother of nations. The Bible tells us Abraham laughed and said in his heart, "A child born to a man of my age of 100 years old." Can't you just picture Abraham saying this? "But God, look at Ishmael. I tried to help you out, and I have a son through him." But God said, "No, Sarah, your wife will bear a child, and you shall call his name Isaac." So, can't you see now that Abraham grabbed a hold of the truth of what God was saying to him? He goes to his wife, Sarah, and says, "Honey, guess what God told me in my prayer meeting today? We're going to have a baby boy. Think about that." And Sarah, she's busy cooking lamb chops, and she says, "Abe, honey, what are you saying at my age?" And of course, Abraham looks at her with a Cheshire cat grin and says, "Hey, honey, I know God, what he said, we're going to have a baby." Romans 4:19 says, "Abraham did not waver in faith when he considered impotence of his own body." Think about that. I don't have that scripture up there, but I wanted to bring that out to you. And Romans 4, verse 20, Abraham here, "No unbelief or distrust made him waver concerning his promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith." Wow. Are you empowered by faith when you grab a hold of what God is saying in his word? Does it just send chills up and down your back and say, "Oh, he's Almighty God, he's El Shaddai. He is the one who provides. He is the Lord Jehovah Jireh, and I'm going to trust and believe in him. My faith is not going to waver because I know God's going to come through." Amen? Amen. Amen. That's our God we serve. But we see it was confirmed by God again by three men that visited them. But what did Sarah do? She laughed. Wouldn't you laugh if you were 90 years old? And somebody came to you and said, "You're going to have a baby?" My wife said she would cry. And I would say, at my age, that's impossible. I can imagine Sarah saying, "Abe, honey, now you know we can't have a baby boy. Come on, get a hold of yourself." She laughed at what Abraham told her God said. Genesis 18, verse 13 through 14, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for God? Is it? Nothing's too hard for God. I will return at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son.' So Sarah began to pump hormones she never thought she had. And God cranked up Abraham's battery one more time. And a son was born the next year. A promise to this man whose faith did not waver. It was true. Isaac was born. And his descendants would go on. Oh, praise be to God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, our supplier." I look at the birth of Isaac, and I consider the majesty, the power, and the glory of Almighty God, the miraculous wonders of our Lord. And I wonder sometimes if we really know how to pray and touch the throne of grace in faith believing. Do we realize what's available to us through Jesus Christ? Do we realize who we are in Jesus Christ? Do we realize the inheritance we have in Jesus Christ? Do we realize that when we come boldly before the throne of grace, that he is able, well, able to accomplish in our life what seems impossible? Does it seem impossible for a loved one to find Jesus Christ? Does it seem impossible for your marriage to come back together? Does it seem impossible for your son who has been wayward to come to Jesus? What is in your life today that is causing you, concern, and you want to do it your own way instead of trusting in God? He is our provider. Sometimes in our own efforts, We are trying to remove a mountain of dirt with a toy bulldozer. Think about that. When all we have to do is declare God's word, bull downs the gates of hell with the authority of God Almighty. Don't just end the day in a small bedtime prayer, but get a hold of God for your family, for your life, for your job, whatever it is, and get up the next morning and say, this is a day the Lord has made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it because he has something special for me today. I know because I serve an all-powerful God, and I'm going to go forth in faith believing. You know, you can walk into a hospital with a disease and walk out healed because of Jesus Christ. You know, God can do and solve a family crisis no matter what. So remember who you do serve today. And God can turn that rebellious boy or girl where you have a delightful relationship again. You can't break a pot habit, but God can. You can't break a meth habit, but God can. You can't break a cocaine habit, but God can. You can't break an alcoholic habit, but God can. You can't break bitterness sometimes, but God can. You may not be able to break resentment in your life, but God can. No matter what it is in your life that you're struggling with, God's able to do that. A bad habit, pornography, whatever it is, God's looking down and saying, I am a God who can do the impossible in your life. You say, I'm looking for another job. God knows I need a job or something else that I want to, you know, make my career better. God knows it. You know what the Bible says? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean onto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. God can break the yoke and set the captive free. Glory and honor be to God. Praise team, please come. You know, what's in a name? I remember back, my dad said this is absolutely true. He was a teenager. And his dad was a logger, and he was making a deal for some timber. And this guy had two sons, you know, about 10, 11, 12 years old. And dad said, his dad looked at one of the boys and said, what's your name? He said, you know. He said, no, I don't know. What's your name? You know. He got a little bit frustrated, his dad said, and he looked at the other son and said, what's your name? I know. Well, you may know, but I don't know. What is your name? I know. And the kid's dad said, yes, we named him You Know and I Know. Well, you know the God you serve. I know the God we serve. And together, we're going to know what can take place because of Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, Adonai, our Lord, our provider, our King, our soon coming King and Lord, Almighty God. What a future we have in him. Amen. May his name be honored. Now here's the key. Listen to John 5, verse 14 through 15. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us in our present possession the requests made of him. How many have a need that the Lord, your provider, needs to take care of today? Amen. Praise God. God knows, and he's here to answer your prayers. Pastor Henry, could you come up? I want you to close in prayer and believe God for these people. In fact, so many hands went up. I want you to grab a hold of hands next to you. and just believe God right now for answers that'll be on the way as you submit to God's plan for your life.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, believing that you are the God that provides.
Yes.
You are the God that hears. You are the God that heals. You are the God, Lord, that's always by our side. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves, Father. And so we just come believing your word this morning. Whatever area it is, Lord, that we're in need this morning, you have the answers, Lord.
Yes.
We have nothing but questions and confusion, Lord. But you have it all figured out. Lord, we give up trying to help ourselves. We give up trying to answer those questions ourselves, Lord. Whether it's in our relationships, Lord, we give those to you this morning. Whether it's financial need, we give those to you this morning. Whether it's needs in our health or the health of our loved ones, we give those to you this morning.
Yes, amen.
In the name of Jesus, we claim the answers, Lord, because you've never failed before. From the beginning of eternity, Lord, you've never failed once. And Lord, we just come believing for the answers this morning. We trust you and we believe your word. Your word is forever settled. Your word says that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away.
Yes.
So Lord, we just trust you. We thank you this morning. We thank you for the word that you've sent, Lord. You've given us so many examples, Lord, of people in the past and even those that we know around us that have come to you in trust and confidence, Lord, even when the situation seemed impossible, Lord, and you've always come through.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we just come laying all our burdens at the feet of the cross this morning.
Amen.
And praying, Lord, for your answer, for your intervention, for your help, for your direction, for your guidance, for you opening doors, for you closing doors that we have no business going through, Lord. And Lord, for being there, that a God that answers, a God that provides, a God that's always near our side, Father. And we just thank you this morning.
Amen.
We thank you for the faith and the confidence that you've given us this morning.
Yes.
And Lord, we just look up to you for continued peace in our nation, in our world, in our homes, in our families, Lord. And we just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor this morning for answers to prayer and for breakthroughs.
Amen.
That you want to give us in our lives and the lives of our loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. You're dismissed. God.